Hello, welcome to another podcast episode. What's this one all about? Tell you in a minute. 8 degrees centigrade, which is 46 Fahrenheit, 994 millibars on the barometer, 85% soaking wet air, and the wind, it is dreadful from the east. Beautiful sunshine. Where are we? 8 o'clock in the morning, Saturday. So you'll hear this tomorrow. Beautiful sunshine out there, lovely day. But it's that east wind, it's the so-called chill factor, isn't it, that makes people feel cold. Just had a notice here from the Met Office. A once-in-a-250-year weather event is underway across the UK that could bring bitter, wintry conditions across swathes of the country. It goes on to say, a sudden stratospheric warming event, which is associated with very cold weather and brought the beast from the east in 2018, unusually hits the UK every other year. This extended winter period from November last year to March is the first time three SSW events, oh, that must be the sudden stratospheric warming events, have been recorded since records began. What does all that mean? I've no idea. I think they mean it's going to get cold. Anyway, whatever it means, the sun's out at the moment and the wind is from the east and it does feel very cold out there. Managers. Do we need managers? There's the question. Do we need people in charge, or is it sometimes better to let people get on with their work without having someone above them upstairs or in an office where they come and check up on you now and then, have someone interfere with you all the time, poking their nose in, oh, we should do this, we should do that. Is it perhaps better sometimes not to have a manager at all? I have had some experience of managers going back many years. I've got to tell you about this chap that turned up in the radio and TV workshop. This is back in the 60s. I was repairing a tape recorder. The service manager was out. Ron, the foreman, I don't know where Ron had gone. He disappeared. I thought he was on holiday. I was repairing this tape recorder and a chap came over to me and said, what are you doing? I'd never seen him before. I don't know where he'd come from. I didn't know whether he was a customer or what he was. And I said, I'm repairing a tape recorder. And he said, what's the trouble with it? So I explained what the trouble was and that I was in the middle of putting it right. OK, he said, and walked off. A colleague of mine on the next bench looked at me and he said, well, who's that? What's that about? I said, I don't know. No idea who he was. He said, well, we better check. Can't have people wandering around the workshop, you know, just coming in off the street. And then I heard him talking to someone else, asking him what he was doing. And this chap was saying, well, I'm repairing a television. This chap was a little bit more outspoken than me. I was only 16. This chap mending the telly said, who wants to know? And he said, well, I want to know. I'm asking you what you're doing and what's wrong with the telly. And this chap said again, well, who wants to know? Who are you? And he said, I'm the foreman. And he said, no, you're not. Ron's the foreman. He said, who the hell are you coming in here? He was quite an outspoken chap. Anyway, this chap said, I'm the new foreman. I started today. It was a Monday morning. And someone else went over and said, well, you could have introduced yourself rather than just walking around asking people what they're doing. He only lasted 2 weeks. I don't know what it was all about. I don't know why they'd employed him. I think Ron had gone on holiday, or perhaps he wasn't well. He was the so-called foreman. I don't know why we had to have a foreman. I suppose the service manager, he was out on calls, dealing with customers, booking in jobs, things like that. So you wanted someone in the workshop all the time. Ron was very clever. If someone got stuck on a fault, for example, if I couldn't find the fault on a telly or a tape recorder, whatever I was repairing, I could say, Ron, could you come and have a look at this? Could you give me a hand? And he'd sort it out. But this other chap, he only lasted 2 weeks. He disappeared. And word had it that he got the sack. I don't know. Anyway, there we are. That's one little story. I've got another one about Dave, or Scarf, as we used to call him. I worked downstairs in another building, in fact, not just downstairs. It was along the road from the main radio and TV workshop. It was like a huge lock-up garage, I suppose. It was bigger than that. It was a building that stood on its own. And as you come out of the door, you're in the street, you're on the pavement. No one liked to go down there. It was called Recon, where we reconditioned second-hand tellies ready for sale, because a lot of people would like to buy a second-hand telly rather than pay out for a new one. Now, in Recon, I think there were four of us working there. Yeah, it must have been four of us. When I first started in Recon, as I mentioned last Wednesday on the midweek message, I had to go through the initiation process. I was put in a cardboard box with a fan heater at one end of the box. So I'm in the box sweating. Then I was let out of the box. Then I had to have electric shocks, all sorts of other things. And I passed all the initiation tests and I was one of the lads in Recon, which was good. We didn't have a manager down there because we didn't really need a manager. Also, people were afraid to go down to Recon. Ron was the foreman. He wouldn't go in there. Not once in all the time I worked in Recon did Ron come in. The service manager did, because everyone was frightened of him. He wasn't frightened of us. Ron seemed to be frightened of the lads in Recon. They were okay. They were perfectly harmless. But Recon had a bit of a reputation. You don't go in there. Don't go into Recon. I don't know why. Anyway, it's quite funny. I was accepted, fortunately. One Monday morning, the service manager opened the door, came in off the street, followed by this chap. I was, 18 at this stage, I suppose. This chap was probably 10 years older than me, about 28. And he said, oh, this is Dave. He's going to be in charge in Recon. With that, the service manager walked out, left this poor chap, Dave, standing there looking at the four of us. And he said, morning. Yeah. You know, we're sort of, oh, yeah, hello. All right. He said, is there a bench, a spare bench for me? And one of the lads said, well, there's that bench there. You can go there, which he did. He had a flask with his tea in it or coffee. He had a sandwich tin. You remember the old tins? I'm going back to the 60s. And he had this football scarf on. It was, what was it, blue and white? The Brighton and Hove Albion football team. He was a fan of theirs, so he had his scarf on. And that's why we called him Scarf. It's awful, really, looking back. It was funny. I quite liked him. Well, we all liked him in the end. But he put his scarf on his bench and his flask of tea and his sandwich tin. We all ignored him. We're just getting on with repairing our tellies, reconditioning the tellies. Now, we had a system there. There was an intercom from the main workshop. The intercom would ring, what a 21-inch KB television for 11 o'clock this morning. It's for so-and-so, so-and-so address, blah, blah, blah. We'd say, yep, we'll have one ready. Well, we had a load of tellies on the shelf, which were all ready for sale. We'd done them. So we didn't really need anyone to tell us what to do. Now, this poor chap, Dave, Scarf, he said, right, lads, so what are we all doing? And, you know, we're saying, well, reconning tellies. We said, what's it look like? He said, okay, so what's the system? Well, we get second-hand tellies from over there on that shelf, do them up and put them up on that shelf. And it was all a bit, I don't know, I did feel sorry for him. We weren't nasty to him. He was just trying to be a bit friendly and join in with us, but I don't know, it just didn't work. He did ask, you know, which TV he should do, were there any that were urgent that we were running out of, particular models. So one of the lads said, yeah, we do that one there. Look, that's going to be needed soon. And he's working away on his bench and he was trying to be chatty. And we did, you know, we weren't horrible to him. As I said, we weren't nasty. We let him join in. It was a couple of days later. He said, you don't really need a manager here, do you? And we're all saying, well, no, not really. You know, what are you doing here? And he said, well, I don't know. He said, I applied for a job at the firm. I got the job. I was told to come and be a manager in here. And he said, you don't need a manager. So he stayed with us. He was all right. He joined in. He became one of us lads. Almost one of us lads. To be a real Recon man, you know, you had to be, I don't know, a certain type of person. Fortunately, I fitted in. Dave wasn't a Recon man, really. But we let him go along with it. He was the manager. He didn't want to be the manager. We didn't want a manager, but he was the manager. So that's one good example of we don't need a manager, and what is a manager for? I remember when he started on that Monday, his first week, we worked a 6-day week through to Saturday. On the Saturday afternoon, There was racing on the television. There's football on the TV. The results are coming in on the telly. People have been doing their football pools and all this stuff. And what the lads used to do, I didn't like cards. They'd set a television up, a couple of tellies to make a table, four tellies round the table to sit on, and they'd play cards all Saturday afternoon while watching the racing and whatever else was on. Now this Dave, he was supposed to be the manager, but he sort of wasn't. And he was saying, is this normal? Are you allowed to do this? And the lads are saying, well, what do you mean, are we allowed? It's the end of the week. It's Saturday afternoon. This is what we do. But not only were they playing cards and watching racing on the telly or football, they were drinking. They had a crate of beer, a crate of brown, you know, bottles of brown ale under the bench. They dragged that out and they're drinking. I was getting on with building pirate radio transmitters, things like that on my bench. I wasn't into playing cards. They were playing poker or something. It was for money. I don't know what game it was. And I didn't really want to drink on a Saturday afternoon at work. If I wanted a beer, I'd go to the pub. But this poor chap, Dave, he just got on with the work. He was reconning televisions. There's the lads playing cards and drinking. I'm building a pirate radio transmitter. And he's supposed to be in charge. Looking back, he was a lovely chap, actually. He had four kids. Lived up, somewhere at the back of Worthing. Four kids, and he was a really nice chap. But he wasn't management material, I suppose that's the way to say it. And he didn't want to be. We didn't want a manager, and he didn't want to be manager. Happy days. On more than one occasion, there'd been some complaint or other about us lot. The service manager would come down and tell Dave, oh, they've done this, they've done that, they shouldn't do this, blah, blah, blah. And he'd leave it to Dave, being the manager, to tell us off or tell us not to do whatever it was we were doing wrong. And of course, Dave wasn't, it just didn't work. He wasn't our boss as far as we were concerned, but he would try. He'd say, oh, lads, you probably heard that. We best not do that again. We'd just say, okay, Dave, whatever. I just take no notice of him at all. We were unruly. I don't want to paint the wrong picture, but we were, when I say unruly, we were perfectly okay, but we were doing our job properly the way we did it, and we didn't need outside interference, even from the boss. I knew someone that worked in an office, and the manager came down and said, oh, we should do this and that. And the lady I knew in the office, she said, we can't, you can't do that. That's against the law. Well, I'm not going to say what office it was or anything, but she said, you can't, that's against the law. We can't do that. And he said, well, that's all right. No, just go ahead and do it. And she wouldn't. And he got upset with her. And it all went upstairs to the big boss. And it was a government place. And this chap was told off. He said, you can't order people to do that. It's against the law. You'd need legislation to do that sort of thing. I don't know what it was all about. But that's a typical example of a manager upstairs hasn't got a clue what's going on downstairs where the work's being done. Every now and then sticks his nose in, mucks things up, makes it all worse. I'm not management material. I've been self-employed most of my life, but the few jobs I have had where I've worked for a boss, I wouldn't want to be that boss. I just want to get on with the job. I certainly don't want to boss other people around and be in charge and all that. When I worked in marine electronics, this is back in the 1970s, I got the job, went into the workshop, expecting other people to be there. It's just me. Quite a big workshop, several benches everywhere, and just me. And I said to my immediate boss, I said, oh, is it just me? This was the first morning I started there on the Monday. He said, oh, yeah, no other staff, no other engineers or anything. And I thought, OK, fair enough, it can't be that much work. But there was a lot of work. Echo sounders, sonar, radar, ship-to-shore radio, all this stuff was all down to me. And it started piling up, of course. The work started piling up as the summer months came and we got really busy because the fishermen were out in their boats, their radios, their echo sounders would go wrong. They'd bring them into us. And this boss of mine, he used to say, right, we're getting behind. I like the way he said that. We are getting behind with the work. So we will make a concerted effort today. And I'd say, oh, that's good. Great, thinking that he was going to help me. Good, because I need a hand. The day would go by. He'd be in the managing director's office having a chat, having a cup of tea and laughing. I'm in the workshop doing all the work. And this concerted effort never did come about. The times he used to say that to me every week, two or three times in the week, well, make a concerted effort today, Ray, catch up with some of this work. OK, yeah, I'd say, yeah, that's good. I look forward to that. Nothing ever happened. One Friday afternoon, I was getting ready to go home. We didn't work at the weekend, and packing up my toolbox. And he said, oh, Ray, do you fancy doing a Saturday morning, say 9 till 12, something like that? Help me out in the stores. We're going to sort out some of the spare parts. And I thought, well, that's good. Yes, I could do with the overtime. So I said, yeah, I'll be here at 9. So I'm thinking this will be good. Got to pay the mortgage. Had bills to pay. So overtime would have been really useful. Went in on the Saturday morning at 9. It was about 10 o'clock. We were chatting. I was helping him in the stores. And he said, oh, it's really good that you could come in today. And I said, well, to be honest, I do need the money. I need the overtime money, what with the new baby and the mortgage. And he said, oh, no, no, it's not overtime. We do this for the love of the company. I think I've told you this before. Love of the company? And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, this is our workshop, isn't it, Ray? It's our workshop, our stores, all our electronic spares in here. We do it for the love of the company. I just grabbed my coat from the workshop, which was off the stores. I said, sorry, I've got a new baby at home. I thought I was doing this for money. I said, sorry, I'm not doing it. And I went, I left. And on the Monday morning, he was a little bit strange. He said, oh, hello. And I went straight into his so-called office, where basically it was his restroom, where he didn't do any work. He just lazed around. And I said, I had him a notice in. Oh, I am surprised. And then he had the cheek to say, actually, I'm not surprised. You couldn't really keep up with the work anyway, could you? Talk about, anyway, that's that. That's another manager that didn't manage anything, didn't help me at all, and was, to be honest, a total waste of space. The times I've heard from people over the years how managers annoy staff, they get in the way, they delay things, they muck about. Without the manager, you could actually get on and do your work. Any managers listening? I wonder, any managers out there? RaysRants@protonmail.com. What do you think if you're a manager? That would be interesting. And now for something quite serious. Men's health. I'm not going to bang on about this. I just want to talk very briefly. Well, and women's health. Have you heard the expression, don't die from embarrassment? You've got a little bit of a pain. You're a chap and you've got a little bit of a pain down there. That's a funny expression. Do you remember that from the old days? Oh, she's got a bit of trouble down there, or he's got a problem down there. You know, obviously meaning, well, down there. I had a little ache and it was two or three days, only recently, the other day. And I thought, this isn't right. I better get it checked. So I did this e-consultant, this thing online. You fill it in and you say what the problem is. Anyway, the doctor phoned me and she said, yes, it was a lady doctor. She said, can you get here in about half an hour? I said, yes, I can, which I did. Had a check over. I was worried about cancer. We all worry about that, don't we? We get something odd. You think, oh, is that cancer? She's checking me over. She said, you haven't got a hernia. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing I can feel that's wrong. I said, testicular cancer? No, she said, no, you haven't got the symptoms or the signs of that. I must have just bashed myself. Somehow, I don't know. No, seriously, it's not a laughing matter. Why I'm telling you this is because had it been, as she said to me, had it been something serious, you best get round to the doctor immediately. Don't think, as a lot of men do, and this is where it comes in, isn't it? Don't die of embarrassment. Don't think, as a lot of men do, oh, that'll be all right. It'll go away, because it won't. Things don't always go away. Mine will go away, because there's nothing wrong. I've bashed myself somehow. Probably crawling under the bench or mucking around in the garden as I do. I've done something and I wasn't perhaps aware of it. So the message is, I'll end it here, I won't go on about it. Don't die of embarrassment. If you think there's something wrong, nip round to the doctor. Get them to have a look. And that goes for men and women. I know a lady, she went along to be checked, won't go into it too much, cancerous cells on the cervix. Hysterectomy saved her life, basically. That's enough of that. Let's move on. You know, I've still got a bit of a sore throat and a cough. I said to the doctor, I've got a cough. She said, well, that'll go. I suppose that's something that can be left. Unless it's a chest infection. No, don't. Don't. What is it they say? Don't Google things. Don't start looking up medical complaints and conditions on Google, which is very tempting, I know, but don't do it. I've got a handheld microphone I'm using now. I bought it the other day. Quite a nice one, made by Shure. It was going cheap. The reason I got it is I'm now standing in the bay window having a look outside. I can see High Downhill. You can look that up on the map, High Downhill. We've had a lot of fog recently. Oh, wind is from the east. That flag is blowing. That's not good. We don't want wind from the east. Aeroplane going across. Grey sky. We've had sunshine today. Was hoping to get in the garden. Now the sky is grey. There's a cherry tree down the road, which is in blossom. Ours isn't. Mind you, ours looks like it's been hacked to bits by someone who doesn't know what they're doing. Which it has. I've hacked it to bits with Tricia. It was getting totally out of hand, so we pruned it. I think the right word is hacked. Anyway, let's go back to the computer. It's nice to walk about with a microphone. Do you do that when you're on the phone? If someone phones me, I walk around. I walk around the house. I wander out into the garden, then wander back indoors. I don't seem to sit still. Anyway, back to the studio. The trouble is with the walk around microphone, you get those puffs, you know, all that sort of thing. Plus it's a bit of noise from where I'm handling the microphone. Anyway, back in the studio. Now, that was an outside broadcast. I just bought the microphone because it was cheap-ish and I thought it looked rather nice. On a completely different note now, I think I told you we went to Amberley Museum last weekend. Well, the family were all milling around looking at something. I wandered off to look at an engine. I like engines, as you know. And there was a couple there. They were also looking at this engine. They were, what, in their early 30s? Well-dressed. She was very attractive. He was nice-looking. Well turned out, as they used to say in the old days. He said to her, I wouldn't mind an engine like that in the shed. And she said, I'm not having a engine like that in the shed. They weren't arguing. In fact, they were laughing about it. It's just that hearing her say that dreadful words, I just thought, how awful. It was terrible coming from a lovely looking lady like that. They were laughing about it. And she continued to swear about the smell that, you know, the exhaust would make, and I was disappointed, I think, to hear that coming from such a lovely-looking lady. That's what brought up this subject that I'm going to talk about now, swearing. Do you swear? I know we all swear. If I'm on my own in the shed and I'm banging in a nail, I bash my thumb, I will say, crikey, or crumbs, that hurt. No, seriously, I will swear. But some people just swear all the time. I think what it is, these days in particular, it's on the television, isn't it? And it's not necessary. Trish has said, well, it's in context. You've got a copper, a policeman, running down the road after a crook. He gets shot in the leg, this copper. He's on the ground. He's not going to say, crumbs, I've been shot in the leg. He's going to say something else. He's going to say, I got shot in the leg. Which I suppose is true to life, as she says, but do we need that on the telly? Do we need that in films? A friend of Trisha's was round in the week, and I said to her about swearing, I said, it seems a shame that that young lady had to swear like that. And she said, well, all women swear these days, you know, nothing to worry about, it's just commonplace these days. And I said, yes, but I don't like it. Perhaps I'm old-fashioned. I am. You know I'm old-fashioned. I've still got this cold. I sound bunged up, don't I? I am old-fashioned. I don't like women. I don't like men swearing. I don't like anyone swearing. What do you think about that? RaysRants@protonmail.com. It's some years ago this happened, but I was downtown with Tricia and a lady was going into a shop. Young lady, 20s, I suppose. I opened the door for her so she could go first. And she said, I can open the door myself, thank you, and stormed off. Where's the chivalry gone? That's, they don't want it. A lot of people don't want it. I think that's a shame. Again, I'm old-fashioned, but I like that. I like opening the door for ladies and giving up my seat on the bus for old ladies in particular, or pregnant ladies. Are we allowed to say that? No, sorry, birthing people. Oh, don't get me started on that. I don't go on the bus full of COVID, full of coughs, colds, disease. I don't go on buses. Mind you, the way I'm coughing at the moment, I'd be giving the other passengers coughs, colds and diseases. They wouldn't be giving me the diseases. I don't feel good at all. Well, I feel okay. I'm just bunged up. I'm getting fed up with this. Hello, Rob in Australia. Thanks for your email. Rob said, I said it's Tuesday and it was Wednesday. That was the midweek message. I record the message sometimes on a Tuesday. So I'll say it's Tuesday today. For example, let me give you an example. Today is Friday, the 6th of March. Clocks change end of this month. So I'm saying it's Friday today. And you'll be saying, no, it's not. It's Sunday. Yeah, that's when this one comes out. Look at that sunshine. Blue sky, beautiful sunshine. But here's the thing. 6 degrees. That is cold. I went out there. That is cold. There's an east wind, a bitter east wind. I don't like it at all. Trish is in the shed sorting out Gary the tortoise. He had a stomp around the garden yesterday. That was funny. He stomped. Well, he didn't stomp. He moved slowly around the lawn, looked around for a couple of minutes. He knew the way back to the ramp and the hatch in the shed where he can go in back to his warm area. He's got a lovely area inside the shed. It's all insulated and warm. He's got his lamp, his heater, his food, his water. Once he saw the ramp, he started moving in that direction. Once he saw the ramp, he realised he'd got his bearings about right and he ran. The last couple of yards, he ran. Literally. I've never seen him move so fast. He ran to the ramp, shot up the ramp, through the hatch and back into the warm. So he's not daft, is he? And the interesting thing is, he gets his bearings. He remembers, even though he's been hibernating for, what was it, 3 months? Plonk him in the garden. He has a look round, just takes a minute or two. I know where I am. There's my ramp. I'm going back in the warm. I'll just update you on the seagull poll, whether you want the seagulls playing at the beginning of each episode or not. It's now 32 want the seagulls, 5 don't. So the yeas have, is it the yeas and the nays, isn't it? They do that in the House of Commons, don't they? Parliament and all that. The yeas have it. So at the moment, the yeas do have it. Talking of swearing, when I was in the radio and TV workshop in the 60s, one of the aerial riggers, there was a team of aerial riggers. They go around putting up aerials on people's chimneys. One of them swore all the time. Most people would say, Struth, look at the rain, it's pouring. He would come into the workshop and say, look at the rain, it's pouring. I said to one of the lads in the workshop one day, I said, is he like that at home? Because apparently he lived with his parents. When I say a lot older than me, I was 16, he was, I don't know, 30s. Apparently he lived at home with his parents. And this chap said to me, both his parents are stone deaf, so he can swear as much as he likes at home. Every sentence he came out with was punctuated with expletives. It was quite strange to hear him talk, actually. Whatever he talked about, if he wanted a light for his cigarette, he wouldn't say, have you got a light? He'd say, have you got a light? Mind you, a friend of ours is like that, not to that extent, but he is always effing and blinding. It's not necessary. I know some of you will disagree, but I am old-fashioned, as I said, and I don't like it. Do you remember I was talking about boundaries the other week? People extending their gardens. If there's a bit of wasteland at the end or to the side, they'll just move their fence a few feet over there. That's it. No one will notice that I've enlarged my garden by a little bit. Well, this chap I knew, I just thought of this the other day. At the end of his garden, he'd moved into the house. He'd made it all nice. At the end of the garden, there was a fence and then a load of bushes. He never thought anything of it until one day he had a letter. I forget from which authority, was it the council, some authority, saying you've taken half the passageway behind all the gardens. And he got back to them and he said, no, I haven't. He looked at his neighbour's garden. That was the same as his. There were some houses down the road where there was a passageway, an alleyway behind the gardens. And it looked as if there were, three or four, including his, at some time or other, had extended their garden into the alleyway. It was only, 5 or 6 feet. And there was quite a hoo-ha about this. The other neighbours got involved. Hoo-ha, that's a funny expression, isn't it? There was a hoo-ha. Anyway, the other neighbours got involved, solicitors got involved, and the council were right. That was an alleyway that people had taken. But he got away with it. All the neighbours got away with it. I forget what the technicality was, but it had been so many years. He'd lived in the house about 10 years. It had been so many years since they'd extended the gardens that it was somehow okay. That was interesting because I remember saying to him, well, anyone could extend their garden. If they get away with it for a number of years, then that's it. They're fine. They've got the land. But surely that is still stealing land, isn't it? I don't know. I must look into that. Where's my look into book? I must put that in there. I had to just rush outside. I heard the dustman. I looked out of the window. We hadn't put our bin out, our grey bin. I had to rush out there. He said, that's all right, mate. Have a good weekend. So excellent. Yeah, he was a nice chap as I chased him down the road. I made a mistake earlier. Did you spot the deliberate mistake? I said it's Friday, the 6th of March. I did that deliberately, you know, so you can pick up on it, see if you did pick up on it. Did you? Were you paying attention? It's not the 8th, it's the 12th. It's the 10th. No, it's the 8th. It's the 8th of March today. Confusing everyone. So I hope you picked up on the deliberate mistake. There was a programme, wasn't there? Was it on the telly or the radio where they would make a deliberate mistake? And then I think you write in or, you know, stamped address envelope or postcard, send a postcard to blah, blah, blah. I've got some vague memory of that. Perhaps you remember, raysrants@protonmail.com. I've just given the lawn another quick cut as it's such a beautiful day. It really is a beautiful day. Blue sky, sunshine, but rain tomorrow. I've had a Met Office email. Warning, Will Robinson, rain on Saturday. No, it didn't say Will Robinson. At least I've got that right. I used to say Will Smith, didn't I? Do you remember that? I'd get loads of emails. It's not Smith, it's Robinson. Anyway, it's going to rain tomorrow, Saturday. When I took the dustbin out a little while ago, I could hear people mowing lawns. There are people washing cars, people sweeping up in their gardens. A little bit of sunshine and everyone comes out. Isn't it lovely? And what else happens down here in Worthing? As soon as the sun comes out, we get aeroplanes from Shoreham Airport. All right, Brighton and City Airport. No, it's not Brighton and City. Shoreham Airport. All the planes start popping out, going overhead. Excellent. That is a sign that summer is on the way. And here's another sign that summer is on the way. We've got a great tit who sits out there all summer. There's a big old fir tree down the garden. And he sits out there all summer. Well, I say he, might be more than one. And he sings like this. It's lovely to hear, but I just wonder sometimes why he doesn't get fed up with it. It must be more than one, because sometimes he is out there all day, making that singing, that do-de-do-de-do-de-do, all the time. He doesn't seem to get a sore throat like I've got. If I did that all day, I wouldn't be able to speak. I think the great tit singing might be a better bird song for the introduction, because seagulls tend to scream. I rather like the sound of the smaller birds singing. I must go and have a drink of water. That doctor, did I tell you? She said to me, you're dehydrated. And I said, I'm not, am I? You are, she said, you're dehydrated. 3 pints, what is it, 1.5 litres? You must have 3 pints of water every day, at least. And that's aside from other drinks. So I do try. I keep forgetting, that's the trouble. But it is important. I went to join a local, not a sports club, a weight losing play, weight loss, whatever they call it, just up the road from us. I went in there. The chap said, it's £100 a month. And I said, I'm not paying that. This was years ago. I said, oh, no, I'm not paying that. And he said, well, what you can do is have at least 3 pints of water a day. That will help you lose weight, which I did start to do. And it was working. I don't quite know how. But now the doctor says that I'm dehydrated, so I must go and have 3 pints of water a day. I did yesterday. I forgot the day before. Anyway, there we are. Do you have 3 pints of water a day? Now, had she said, have 3 beers every day, 3 pints of beer, that's a different matter. I wouldn't forget to do that. Change of subject. I was listening to the news on the telly this morning. They're talking about AI. And was it John Lennon? They say, imagine John Lennon singing a David Bowie song. Or has it been done? Visually and audio-wise, it looks and sounds just like John Lennon singing, I don't know which Bowie song it was, I forget. And they were saying it was amazing, absolutely amazing, at how good it was. Here's the thing, this was the point. Artists these days in the music industry, or writers, anything like that, writers, authors, are they going to get outdone by AI, this artificial intelligence? But more to the point was, people that are still alive, say a singer that's still alive today, well, they don't need him anymore, even though he is still alive. They don't need him. They've got his image. They've got his voice. They can put together an AI thing and have him sing whatever they like. So what would happen to the royalties because it's not him singing? Quite an interesting subject, actually, because I keep hearing about AI and we won't need authors anymore. You can just tell AI to write you a book about whatever and it'll do it for you. It'll write you a song. It'll write you a poem. It'll do what you like. And people are beginning to worry. I haven't looked into it too much, but I just thought I'd mention that because back in the day, when I was a boy, back in the old days, there was obviously none of this sort of thing going on. There was a band, The Who, for example. They were The Who. They played in the studio. They played live on stage. That was it. They had records. You could record them on tape. You remember the old reel-to-reel tape recorders and then cassette tape recorders? But there was no emulating them with artificial intelligence and all that. So how things have changed, not just down the local pub where it's not regulars anymore, it's more like a restaurant, but the music industry, everything has changed so much. It's incredible. Every aspect of life, it seems, has changed almost beyond recognition. I saw something on Twitter the other day. Someone was saying, it would be good when we get rid of all these old age pensioners. That's me they're talking about. Be good when we get rid of them because all they do is bang on about the old days and how good it was back then. Well, I thought, that's nice. That's nice. They don't want to get rid of me or the old age pensioners. Stroth. There will always be change, obviously. There has always been change. Go back to this time, I don't know, 100 years ago. Go back to 1800 and something. Things have changed, obviously. But I think now things are changing at such a rate that people can't keep up with it. I certainly can't. Saw my mum this morning, you know, we go around there on a Saturday morning, bit of housework, cup of coffee and a chat. And she was saying that she can't keep up with it. Every time she puts the news on, this has happened, that's happened, they're changing this, they're changing that. And you can't keep up with it. I can't keep up with it. It seems every day, as she was saying, every day, there's something else that's going to be done away with or some new thing introduced that, I don't know. It is difficult trying to keep up with everything. So I'm an old age pensioner that some people want to get rid of. Well, I tell you what, I like banging on about the good old days. There was a cyclist. Here we are. This is a good example of the old days. A cyclist in the middle of the road. We're driving along to my mum's. He's in the middle of the road. I can't get past him. There are cars coming the other way. Okay, you're thinking, well, it's his right of way. He's got every right to be on the road, which is true. Here's the thing. Just to his left was a cycle lane, a perfectly clear cycle lane. Oh, no, no, he's got to get right in front of the traffic. Of course, traffic is piling up behind me. The chap behind me could see what was happening. He's blasting his horn, not at me, at the cyclist. The cyclist is making V signs without even looking round. And there's a cycle lane there. Apparently, they don't have to use the cycle lane. Well, that's a bit odd, isn't it? The majority of cyclists, if they see a cycle lane, they will use it, which is obviously what it's for. It's for their safety and to allow the traffic to flow. But you get one or two. There's always one or two, isn't it? One or two idiots. No, I'm not going to use that. I'm going to go in the middle of the road and hold the traffic up. I didn't blast him because he's probably got a video camera or it's just not worth it. I just waited till I could go the other side of the road and pass him. But it seems every time we go out in the car, doesn't matter where we go, we meet an idiot. Well, an idiot. Normally there's half a dozen. Now, I must admit, there was another one. There were two idiots this morning. Some other idiot pulled out right in front of us. So two idiots. That's not bad going, actually. Normally it's at least six. Now, would that have happened in the old days? I don't think it would. OK, there were less cars, there were less cyclists, blah, blah, blah. We know all that. But had there been a specific lane for cyclists, I'm sure back in the old days they would have used it. I know the majority do, but I don't think you'd even get one idiot that would be bloody minded and, well, I'm not using it. I'm allowed to go in the middle of the road and hold the traffic up, so I will. I don't think that would have happened back then. Maybe I'm wrong. raysrants@protonmail.com. Let me know. Whenever I see my mum every Saturday, she goes on about the old days, rather like me. That's probably where I get it from. She was saying, what's all this like business? And I said, what do you mean like? And she gave me an example. She'll say, a couple will be chatting and one will say, I went into this shop and I was like, have you got any bath buns? And the lady was like, no, we've only got so-and-so buns. We don't have bath buns. So I was like, oh, well, don't you do them anymore because you had them before. And she was like, and my mother was saying, it is so annoying. I know, it is annoying. I know people like that. It really is. All this like this. I was like, she was, he was like. Struth. It's difficult to keep up with what they're actually saying. It would be easier to follow if he said, I said, she said. And I did remind my mother, because she was saying, we didn't do that in my day. And I said, no. But do you remember a chap called Clive? Which she did. Clive, I won't mention his surname. Hello, Clive, if you're listening. You're probably not listening because you're a lot older than me, so you're probably not here anymore. He would say, I turns round and goes to him, have you got any bath buns? And he turns round and goes to me, no, we don't do them anymore. So I turns round and goes to him, well, you did do them. Are they not popular? And she said, I remember that. I remember that. She said, it was so annoying. I said, well, like this and like that. I said, that's the modern day equivalent of Clive back in the 60s. He was very annoying, all this. I turns round and goes and he turns round and goes. And now we've got this equivalent. I was like and she was like and I was like. It's a funny old world, isn't it? Oh, and Trish mentioned my pet hate, somethink, nothink. There's no such word as somethink, anythink. And she said, you know, they say that on the news. This is my mum. They say that on the news. And I said, yes, something else they do on the news, which would never have happened in the old days. Welcome to so-and-so news with me and Fred. It's not me and Fred. If I'm saying welcome to the podcast episode with me and Tricia, that is wrong. I should say with Tricia and me. So many people get that wrong. That's just so annoying. Everything is annoying, isn't it? News readers, all these people, journalists who are meant to be in the know, they get it wrong all the time. I wonder whether a book or a play or whatever written by artificial intelligence will get the grammar, the syntax, punctuation, all that correct. Punctuation, of course, is very important. Who wants an English lesson? You don't, do you? No, OK, let's move on. I had an email from Bonnie. Hello, Bonnie. That's a nice name. She said, I mentioned on the midweek message school teachers. I did, Bonnie. You're quite right. Now, here's the thing. She's actually written, here's the thing. I am a school teacher. Oops, am I in trouble? Bonnie is a school teacher. And she says throughout her career, she has often been a new teacher at a new school if she's moved schools. And it is very difficult in front of the class for the first time. They don't know you. You don't know them. You've got to work out which of the kids are the troublemakers, which are the ringleaders, which are the ones that want to learn and want to study. And she said it is an almost impossible task. And the point that she's making is, do you go in as a nice teacher? You know, hello, boys and girls, or whatever, whoever class you're doing, I don't know. Hello, people. Hello, humans. Do you go in nice or do you go in stern? Right, my name's Miss So-and-so. Silence when I'm speaking. Which is the best way? She's always tried to get a happy medium, she's saying, but it doesn't always work. some of the kids need that stern approach and others need the more friendly approach where the teacher is approachable. As you say, Bonnie, it's an almost impossible task. I would hate it. I taught English many years ago as a foreign language. I started off with sort of, I don't know, what were they, 10, 11, 12-year-olds. That was quite good. They didn't know a word of English. And I'd hold up these cards with a picture of a car and I'd say, car, and they'd write down car, C-A-R. That was fairly straightforward. I did quite well with them. I got them speaking the language fairly well as the weeks went by. Another time I had teenagers, sort of 18, 16, 18, that sort of age. They were difficult. They were very difficult because they would mess about. Only one or two, but that's all it takes. One or two kids messing about and you can't get on with the class properly. You can't get on with the lessons. I did that for quite some time. I got fed up with it in the end. But I do know what it's like to, well, not to be a school teacher. This was a different thing altogether. It wasn't at a school. It was at various venues. But nice to hear from you, Bonnie. I wonder how you got on in the end. You don't actually say how long you've been teaching, how old you are. Be nice to hear from you again. I did answer your email, but be nice to hear from you again. See how you're getting on. As you know, I didn't get on well at school. I didn't like them. They didn't like me. But some of our teachers, one or two were nice. As I've said in the past, the maths teacher tried to help me. After school, he tried to coach me, but I couldn't do it. I can't do mathematics. Stone the crows. Don't need it now. I've got a calculator. In fact, I don't need the calculator. I ask Alexa. I will. I'll say, what's 6 inches in millimetres? And she tells me that. I don't need to work things out myself. Do you remember that we used to get at school? I wonder whether you did. Everyone seemed to have this. If it takes 6 men 2 hours to dig a hole in soft mud or something, how long would it take 6 men to dig a hole in clay? You're thinking, what? What are they on about? How many hours does it take 6 men? We had that all the time at school. They used to set it as homework. And I never understood the question. If it takes a train 2 hours, 15 minutes to get from there to there with something, how long does it take to get from... Well, how do I know? I haven't got a clue to how long a train gets from there to there or how many men dig a hole. I'm not interested. I'm not taking the train and I'm not going to dig a hole, so I don't really care. Actually, thinking about that, I've just remembered there was a kid at my school, senior school this was. I've still got this sore throat. He once said to one of these questions, you know, how many men does it take and whatever, he said, what the hell does it matter? They were his words exactly. What the hell does it matter? And the teacher wasn't amused. Don't use that language in my class. Well, he only said hell. I mean, that was all right. And the kid said, well, I just want to know, why does it matter? Will it ever be worked out, say, on a building site? How long will it take? How many men to dig, say, a trench for the footings of a house? And the teacher said, well, yes, it is important. Because there might be bad weather expected. I remember all this. This isn't verbatim, but roughly. There might be rain coming later. They've only got 3 hours before the weather changes. They've got to get that dug. How many men do they need? And this kid said, they're not going to work it out like that. That's rubbish. I remember he saying, that's rubbish. He was told to get out in the corridor and stand out there. We didn't have a dunce hat, you know, with the D on. We didn't have that. But he had to stand outside in the corridor. And I thought that was not fair because he was asking a legitimate question. What is the point? And the teacher gave a kind of legitimate answer, I suppose. Well, you've got rain coming in, blah, blah, blah. But come on. As the kid was saying, you know, they're not going to do that. They're just going to get on and dig the damn hole. I think it was the same kid. I shouldn't call him kid, child. Well, early teens. The same kid, we'll go back to kid, in English, the teacher, she was all right, Mrs. Nolan, Mrs. Nolan, her name, used to stink of cigarettes. She'd come and lean over your shoulder and look at your work and talk to you, and oh, for the stench, enough to put anyone off smoking. Mind you, we all smoked anyway. She said, you should never, ever start a sentence with and. And this kid, why not? She said, because it's not correct. Was it not grammatically, blah, blah, blah. He said, well, they're doing the Bible. And she said, well, that's different. Why? She said, well, it is. It's just different in the Bible. Well, why? Anyway, I joined in because I always liked English. And I said, you can start a sentence with and if the sentence before, I didn't say preceding sentence because I was only young. I didn't know what preceding was. So the sentence before, if it relates to that, then you can end that with a full stop and start your new one with the word and. And she said, no, you can't. I found out later in life, yes, you can. So she was wrong. And another one, son came home from school, had his homework corrected. The teacher had put a red cross by the word fridge. He'd put F-R-I-D-G-E, fridge, where you keep your beers. She said that was wrong. There's no D in it. There is. It's F-R-I-D-G-E, fridge, refrigerator. Anyway, I went to the school. Next time I picked him up, I went in. And I said to her, you're wrong. And she said, no, I'm not. And she got a dictionary. And she said, oh, yes, I'm wrong. That was funny. So teachers don't know everything, do they? They're not right all the time. Back in the 80s, teachers were getting into this phonetic way of spelling. So the word was, instead of W-A-S, it would be W-O-S or W-O-Z, was. And they reckon that helped kids, but it didn't help them at all. From what I heard at the time from parents and our own kids, it totally confused them. They didn't know whether they were coming or going. Was? Well, is it W-A-S? Is it W-A-Z? Is it W-O-Z? Ridiculous, all this. It's some new-fangled idea. Oh, we do phonetic spelling, where everything is spelt incorrectly. I mean, who thought that up? Some idiot behind a desk. I wonder what would happen to the country, to the world, if every idiot behind a desk was chucked out, got the sack. If you got rid of idiots, managers, can't get rid of school teachers, I suppose, leave the kids to their own devices. Right, there you are, class of 40. There's the blackboard. There's a load of books. Get on with it. There'd be riots, wouldn't there? There'd be fights and all sorts going on. The amount of youngsters I've heard today over a period of time, don't need a calculator. Why do you need that? We've got computers. We've got Alexa. I have to whisper that because it sets everyone's Alexa off. But kids have said they don't need to know grammar. They don't need to know spelling. You've got spell correct on your computer, on your phone, on your iPad. Why do you need to know how to spell? Well, if we're going down that route, we're going to end up, no one can add up or subtract. No one can spell. No one can string a sentence together. Speech will be just awful. Just all totes, orfs, whatevs. Everything cut up and abbreviated and incorrect. Won't need to know about punctuation. I mean, is that the route to go down? I don't think that sounds very good. Shakespeare would turn in his grave. Shakespeare. Now that we did at school and that I did not understand. I did not want to understand it. And even today I don't understand it. Yes, he was brilliant, apparently. I don't like it at all. We had to do The Merchant of Venice. I won't go into that. It's boring. Getting this sore throat back again, so I shall leave you in peace. Thank you for listening. To those of you, that is, that have endured to the end, where are we, 53-something minutes? Are you still with me? Incredible if you've endured this, if you're still with me. I don't think I could listen to this for an hour, getting on for an hour. I'd get fidgety and bored and I'd walk off and do something else. Good job that you don't all do that. raiserants@protonmail.com. Be great to hear from you. Whatever you do, don't get caught. Enjoy yourselves. Enjoy your life. And if you're worried about something, aches, pains, some little niggling thing, go to your doctor. It could save your life. I shall see you on Wednesday. Take care. Bye-bye for now.